Today's episode of Behind the Numbers is brought to you by Haefely Flanagan. Haefely Flanagan is a full-service accounting firm that's been serving our clients since 1967. We are not your typical accounting firm. Our services extend well beyond tax and audit to include valuation services, strategic and succession planning, leadership development, and more. When you work with Haefely Flanagan, we help you realize your long-term goals. Learn more at hfco.com or call 856-722-5300.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and welcome back to the show where we dig deeper to understand what really matters most in business. We all know that professional athletes rely on their coaches to help maximize their performance. So do business leaders and aspiring leaders. And today we're going to be talking about that very subject with Denise Yosifat, who is founder and president of Choice Executive Solutions. Denise, welcome to Behind the Numbers. Excuse me.
Thank you, Dave. Glad to be here. And I just finished my Wordle. I got amazing level. I'm going to work towards genius level, but let's make this an amazing discussion.
Sounds good. Why don't we start this amazing discussion by you just describing who you are and what you do and who you serve?
So I am an executive coach, and I serve leaders and business owners really across the spectrum, from startups all the way up to Fortune 500 companies. And it's always my honor and privilege to work with all of the leaders in helping them reach their potential and hone their leadership skills.
Yeah. And Denise, today's episode is sponsored by Haefely Flanagan, and you are a Haefely Flanagan Alliance partner. Tell us what that means.
So as an Alliance partner, Haefely will come to me and say, I have a potential client. Would you be interested in working with them? And they will really give me access to different people in their world. And so I've had the pleasure of working from, you know, with lawyers, with architects, with small business owners, mid-sized business owners, really on a number of different issues where they're trying to help their organization succeed and help themselves succeed. So that's how I work with Haefely, and again, really enjoy all the people that they've connected me to.
That's great. One of the things that I hear all the time being discussed in this community is executive presence. We've had a number of guests on this program, in fact, talking about executive presence, and each one has a different, unique perspective on what that really means. What's your definition of executive presence?
Well, I have to laugh at first. I want to tell you a little story that I had a potential client, well, she's now a client, say to me the other day, you know, this executive presence, it's such puffery, and the term itself, you know, really doesn't mean anything. And I had to laugh because the term actually means, you know, it's a person's image. It's a person's perception. It's, you know, someone coming in and owning the room, or in our virtual world, owning the Zoom. And it really gives someone the weight, their word carries weight, their word has gravitas, and people listen to them more. They have more influence. So executive presence is really important whether you have a startup and you're trying to influence investors in your startup, or whether you're in a Fortune 500 company and you need to influence the CEO or anyone along the line of that hierarchy. So it's not puffery. It's an actual thing, and it has different components to it.
Yeah. And as a leader, to have executive presence means you can then have influence in a variety of fashions, you know, the inspirational influence, or just the idea that this is the person in charge and you need to do what this person's indicating. But when we think about executive presence, as I mentioned, we've talked about it from the context of how one dresses, how one speaks, how one carries themselves. It's the whole combination that develops the persona that, as you said, allows someone to command the room. So why don't we unpack that a little bit further? And how do you go about developing executive presence with the people that you're working with?
Yeah. So what I do is I break it down for folks, and I like to break it down in really easy terms. So I talk about the three C's. I talk about the composure that someone needs to have, and that's the way we look. You know, do we look composed? Are we put together? I was giving a seminar around executive presence, and one person said, well, composure, you're saying the way we look, and you're saying that we, you know, we shouldn't have any distractions. I've got purple hair. And I said, well, you can walk into the room with purple hair, realize people are going to look at your purple hair. So what you say needs to go beyond that. It needs to make sure that people are listening to what you say even more, because you're walking in with a distraction already. So it's, you know, the composure is putting yourself together, how you look when you walk in, you know, and making sure that you're minimizing distractions. Or if you're not, or if you do have some distractions, making sure that you're really composed and people can look beyond them. So that's the first part, is the composure. The second part is the communication itself, where people, it's the way you listen to people. It's the way you talk to people. It's the way you really communicate in very different ways, and, you know, making sure that you're not using fillers, making sure that you're not stuttering. Or again, if you have some of these things, making sure that your content goes beyond and reduces that distraction. So communication is a huge part of executive presence. And then the third piece, which is the, you know, kind of the mindset, is the confidence. When you walk in the room, are you walking in the room like you own that room? Or are you walking in the room, you know, I can look at you like this, Dave, or I can look at you like this.
Right.
And the second shows, I don't have confidence. And, you know, it's a whole mindset shift. And so when I work with leaders, I decompose which of these three C's, or is it a multiple of these three C's that we need to work on?
Yeah, as you were describing them, it occurred to me anyway that you don't get the composure or the strong communication unless you have that confidence. Is that a reasonable way to think about that?
Well, it's interesting because I've worked with people who are highly capable and highly confident in the work they do, but not highly confident walking into a room and giving a presentation. So it's a different, it's confident about, it's the confidence of showing up. How do you show up? How do you make sure that when you walk in that room, you're confident, whether you're walking in the room and you're making a presentation to people two levels above you, or you're walking in the room and making a presentation to investors, or you're walking in the room and making a presentation to your team. How do you make sure that you show up with that confidence? And so it's a very different confidence from a capability confidence, you know, because a lot of the leaders I'll work with have very high capabilities. They are great at what they do. They may not be great at showing up.
Yeah,
and having that executive presence.
Yeah. And when you talk about the presentation piece, we're talking kind of a public speaking role, if you will. And it's been said that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. So maybe if we just put that into its own little basket and push it off to the side for a second and focus on confidence in the day to day, how do you tease that out of executives who may otherwise feel like, whether it's imposter syndrome or the loneliness at the top phenomenon, how do you get them into that right mindset shift?
Yeah. So I am constantly dealing with skill sets and mindset, right? And so one of the things, you know, I'm a big believer in something called positive intelligence, and how do you shift your mind from kind of all the negativity that likes to implant itself in us. And we all have it. I mean, we're humans. We're, as human beings, we have negative thoughts more often than anything on the planet. You know, oh, I didn't do that right. Or oh, that person's wrong. Or, oh, that situation's bad. So we're constantly having these negative thoughts. And it impacts us in the way that we show up. It impacts us in the way that we work with others. It impacts us in the way we communicate with others. So I'll look at the mindset, and I'll look at the, and also the skill set. Some people just don't know the right thing to say. Some people just don't know what you know, I'll talk to leaders about the difference between, are you going into this meeting to inform or are you going into this meeting to influence? Because those are two very different things. So knowing the skill set, what do you need and what does the audience need? And really taking a look at what's the best way to get there.
Yeah, Denise, for folks who are watching, listening, and want to know more about you, how they can work with you, what's the best way for them to connect?
Through Hastley, through the, you know, contacting me through Hastley Flanagan and asking for me, and that would be a great way to connect.
So that's the website, hfco.com, I presume.
Absolutely.
There you go. Denise, I don't want to take you down a rabbit hole here. We're bumping up against a commercial break. So we're going to take a pause here. You sit tight. You watching, listening at home. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back on Behind the Numbers.
Okay, perfect.
Hi, I'm Angela Pipersburg, and I have a new show here in RVN Television called The Angela Pipersburg Show. And I want you to join me every week as I sit with guests and we discuss their life journeys, share wisdom, and tips that will inspire you to live your best life. Don't miss The Angela Pipersburg Show every week here on RVN Television, where we're celebrating life and we're inspiring you to greatness.
Hi, I'm Dr. Esther Malavay, and welcome to my show, Achieving a Better You. Through this show, we're going to explore ways to make a better version of you. For example, nutrition, finance, fitness, health. Remember that there's always a way of making a better version of yourself, no matter what the circumstances are. And remember to look for Achieving a Better You show on RVN TV.
Some say the world has never been more divided, more self-centered,
gosh, thank you so much,
more uncaring.
Thank you. Oh, miss! Thank you.
That we've never been more disconnected. But through our windows, we're able to see so much good every day. And it's clear that a little kindness is never really little.
Did you know that only 8% of people who set their goals, they actually succeed in achieving them? Well, if you want to be a part of that 8%, then you need to tune in to Achieve with Wanda Martin, where I will teach you tips, tools, and strategies on how to achieve your goals in any field and on any level. So tune in, watch me on the RVN Network on how to achieve your goals and be a part of that 8%.
Today's episode of Behind the Numbers is brought to you by Hafley Flanagan. Hafley Flanagan is a full-service accounting firm that's been serving our clients since 1967. We are not your typical accounting firm. Our services extend well beyond tax and audit to include valuation services, strategic and succession planning, leadership development, and more. When you work with Hafley Flanagan, we help you realize your long-term goals. Learn more at hfco.com or call 856-722-5300.
And welcome back to Behind the Numbers. I'm Dave Bookbinder. Today we are talking about executive presence and influence with Denise Yosafat, who is founder and president of Choice Executive Solutions. She's also a Hafley Flanagan Alliance partner. And Denise, I want to pick up where we left off with the first segment, just continue on the theme of confidence or the lack thereof. And I want to get your perspective, having worked with so many clients over the years. Why do so many executives lack the confidence that they need to carry themselves as, you know, poised leaders?
Yeah, the reasons are as different as human beings are. There are a lot of different reasons that people experience imposter syndrome or lack of confidence. It could be something related to their childhood, it could be an incident that related to their childhood. It could be a whole series of incidents. It could be something that happened yesterday and nothing to do with childhood. There are a million different reasons that people lack confidence. And for those reasons that are over time, it is more of a challenge to build that confidence. So if you've been put down and put down and put down and put down a lot, then you need more of a buildup. If it's something that is incident related, so let's say someone walked into a presentation And they really walked out of that presentation feeling, wow, I did not do a good job. And they took a confidence hit. Those are easier to rebound from and become resilient from than something that's happened from an elongated time. But even for those people who have taken hits over a long period of time, I've worked with them to build up their confidence. And my hope is that they feel transformed by the time they're done working with me.
Yeah, for sure. And just taking that to the next level, then you've got a client and they've accomplished the confidence, the composure, they've developed the communication skills. And now it's about creating influence. And you can influence in a variety of ways. Some of it can be emotional. Some of it can be data driven. How do you advise your clients in conducting that influence piece?
Yeah, so I'll always advise my clients, look to your audience first. How do you think that person or those people, what do you think would influence them? Because it's different. You know, you look at the commercials for St. Jude's and it's a very emotional appeal. You look at a lot of other appeals and it could be a very data driven. It could be a very, we're in this together, kind of a spirit appeal, an inspirational appeal. There are all kinds of different appeals. And you really have to identify when you walk into a room or when you're trying to influence, what is that person looking for? I have leaders who say, hey, my CEO is a storyteller. So they know they need to walk into that room and they need to tell a story because that's what will influence that CEO. Not that the CEO isn't going to want to hear the data behind it as well. They may, but it's the data to back the story. So really, really knowing your audience is the key. And knowing how you're going to walk in there and present to them with that knowledge. And also there's a difference between long-term influence and short-term influence. The long-term influence really takes someone believing in you, believing in your capability, having that relationship, having that trust, you're able to influence more. If it's a short-term thing, you know, how many spam emails do we get where people are trying to sell us something and we don't trust them? They're not going to be able to influence us so well. So the more you can build trust over time, the more you're able to influence as well.
Yeah, 100% trust is critical in creating an environment of trust and innovation and everything that comes with that, the discretionary effort. Talk to me a little bit about executive presence and influence outside of the presentation room, outside of the boardroom, where it's one-on-one interactions, where you can build those elements of trust in what Brené Brown calls those tiny moments.
Yeah, I think the pathway to building trust, the number one thing people can do to build trust is to be vulnerable. And we used to look at, in the old days, we used to look at vulnerability as a weakness. And I think Brené Brown, thank God for her, came in and really flipped the table and showed us that now vulnerability is a strength because we're all human and we all have vulnerabilities. And in fact, the more you lean into them, the more you build your trust and say, listen, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Let's work together and let's collaborate. And let's look at our mistakes as learning opportunities and not, you know, berate each other. And so that is the number one way to build trust. And when you build those trustful relationships, you become a much more collaborative team, setting yourself up for high performance. So that's the foundation is building that trust.
Yeah. And let's just unpack vulnerability for a moment too, because that's another topic and buzzword we all hear about all the time. And is it more than just basically dropping the persona and just being you? I mean, that sounds oversimplistic.
Oversimple. Sometimes that's all it is, though, Dave. Sometimes, you know, people have walls up. And when people have walls up, and I'm not saying to overshare, because there's a huge difference. You know, I've had clients who overshare because they want to be, I want to show that I'm a real person. So you have to temper it with, you know, share enough that people know you're human and that people know a little bit about you so they can ask, you know, how was your weekend and how are your kids doing? And really treating each other with respect and knowing that we have lives that are totally interconnected between our work lives and our personal lives. And as humans, we're not robots. We have the wholeness to us. And so it's treating each other with that knowledge, and it builds respect, it builds trust. And that's, again, the foundation of great relationships and great work together.
Yeah. And I want to jump into the numbers just a little bit, so to speak. And we talk about a lot of the behind the numbers issues here. And I want to get into the ROI of leadership. I know there's some folks who perhaps are skeptical about why someone needs coaching. And we've discussed a number of the benefits and how it creates executive presence and influence and what that means in terms of driving behavior inside an organization. But let's get into it just a little bit, if you can, about the ROI. What have you experienced? What have folks told you?
Yeah. So the way that I measure success is softer than the numbers. So, you know, at the end of a coaching engagement, I will ask the client, how do you think you've changed? How do you think this has helped you? How would you describe it? But I did take a course on the ROI of executive coaching, and they actually did a number of studies saying, listen, without the coaching, there were retention issues, or there were attrition issues, or there were people who didn't feel empowered. So there were productivity issues. So there's a lot of things, if you look at it, if you look at bad leadership, if you look at bad management, if you look at what transformation of that leader can do, not only for their team, but for a whole organization, there is a lot of ROI involved, because people don't leave their companies, they typically leave their managers. And so you have all these costs involved with people leaving, getting new people, the recruitment costs. You can, if you get additive, it's thousands and thousands of dollars that you could potentially be losing by continuing bad leadership.
Yep. For sure. Denise, for folks who want to get in touch with you, want to learn more about you, maybe even work with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
The best way, you can contact me at dyosafat, that's D, the letter D, Yosafat, Yosafat, at consultinghfco.com. Or you can contact me on LinkedIn at Denise Yosafat. Just look me up. Or if you want to give me a call, 908-625-9085.
Thank you for that. Denise, what's been your experience in working with folks who don't necessarily need to work with you, but they want someone else in their organization to work with you? So I've got a manager who could really use a checkup from the neck up. How does that conversation go?
So they don't work with you, but they want someone else to work with me?
Yeah, they've identified.
I have sometimes fired clients before I've had them. I want to make sure that the person who, if someone suggests someone else work with me, I want to make sure that someone else wants to work with me.
Okay. And what's that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What's that conversation like? So if you're the CEO or whatever in the leadership role, and you've got a manager that reports to you and you think they could benefit from executive coaching, how do they navigate that conversation?
Well, you might want to tell them, I think you could benefit from executive coaching for these reasons, and then talk to a coach and see, you know, make sure that you like that coach, first of all. Make sure you build a relationship. The executive coaching relationship, Dave, is one of the most, it's a very vulnerable relationship. You have to have trust in your coach, and you have to make sure that that coach is the right one for you. And I'll tell clients that all the time, or potential clients, listen, I may not be the right one for you. If I am, though, I'm there 100%. I am there for you, and I'm there to help you succeed and help you thrive. And the way that I define thriving is success in however you define it. It's not my version of success. It's your version of success, and happiness along the way, because you don't want to be, you know, have success at the expense of your happiness. So I'm there to help you thrive. And if we work together, that's going to be my aim. And I'm very results oriented. So if you tell me these are your goals, game on, let's work towards them.
Now, speaking of you being results oriented, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about a couple of things. Number one, you did a TEDx talk. I have utmost respect for anybody who gets on those stages and undergoes that whole process. Talk a little bit about your TEDx talk and where people can find that.
You know, I like to challenge myself, Dave. I like to do different things and just put myself out there. I'm constantly asking my clients to put themselves out there and to expand their comfort zones of things they're not comfortable with. So I want to do that myself. And the TEDx talk was an opportunity for me to do that. And the theme at the time was, you know, how are we making a difference in the world? And I thought, well, I need to share a story. I need to share a story of my evolution in the world and how I grew and experiences I had that led to that growth and what that led me to do differently. So I was really honored to be picked for the Rutgers TEDx talk series, the Rutgers Prep TEDx talk series, not the Rutgers College. It was their first time doing it and it was a blast.
Like I said, utmost respect. I know what that process is like. I had the opportunity to do a Finex talk. It was a finance excellence conference, and it was during the pandemic, so it was virtual. But they provided a TED Talk coach to put us through the entire process. We had to check every one of those TED Talk boxes. So congratulations on that. I know that that's a real accomplishment. We're getting close to the end here, Denise, but I want to ask you one more thing and give you a chance to talk about. You've also written a book. You're an author. Book is called The Power of Choice, 6 Steps to Get What You Want Out of Life. Tell us a little bit about that and where we can find it.
Yeah, the book actually evolved from a dream. I did a lot of facilitating in my background and I dreamt the book. I was actually writing down the word choice on a on a flip chart in my dream, woke up, said, oh, that's interesting. That may be a book. Talked to a good friend of mine, John Chancellor. He goes, oh, you got to write this. And I said, well, you need to be a contributing author then. He goes, you know, let's do it. And it was just a fun thing that, you know, taking finding out the process. It was a lot of learning on my part. How do you get this done? Just a wonderful experience. And for the people who read it and came back and said, listen, this has really changed the way I think, all the more wonderful that I've helped them kind of reframe how they're thinking about making choices in their lives.
And where can people find the book, Denise?
Amazon.
Okay.
Look me up, Denise Yosefat. It'll come right up.
Very good.
And by the way, I didn't write the book to be a bestseller. I wrote the book to help people. So you can get it for free. You can get it for free on your Kindle, or if you want a hard copy, I think it's only $10. So I really want to make sure that people have access to the learning. I didn't do it for profit.
Very good. So folks, go out and grab that for free and look for Denise Yosefat on Amazon. Denise, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Behind the Numbers. This was a great conversation.
My pleasure, Dave. Wonderful. Thank you for inviting me. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks. We have been talking about executive presence and influence with Denise Yosefat, who's founder and president of Choice Executive Solutions. She is also a Haefeli Flanagan Alliance partner. And big thanks to Haefeli Flanagan for sponsoring this episode of Behind the Numbers. Very much appreciated. Be sure to check them out at hfco.com. I want to thank the Big Cheese for running the board today. Can't do the program without him, that's for sure. And my name is Dave Bookbinder. I'm the one that my clients turn to when they want to know what their most important assets are worth. If you're a business owner and you don't know what your business is worth, we should probably have a conversation. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to chat. And thank you out there for watching and listening. Really appreciate your support. That's all we have for today. We'll see you next time on Behind the Numbers. Take care, everybody.